Kivu Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pan-African Film Series. This month, May 18th at 6 p.m., will be A Message from Women in Gambia at the Smith Student Union at Portland State University. A Message from the Women of Gambia will feature young women organizers from the All-African Women's Revolutionary Union and the All-African People's Revolutionary Party, speaking about organizing for Pan-Africanism in Gambia and throughout Africa. Again, that's a message from the Women of Gambia, a part of the Pan-African Film Festival, Wednesday, May 18th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Student Union Room 333 at PSU, 1826 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening. This is Fernando Gapacin. You're listening to Second Monday Labor Radio on KBOO Portland 90.7. Labor Radio is of, by, and for the working class. And tonight, we're doing a program on attempting to engage workers in the labor movement. And we'll be covering The LBGT community. Will be talking about overcoming union member apathy, and we'll be announcing an important event regarding knowing your rights as a worker, union and non-union. And I'll introduce our guest. First, we're going to have Bea Marston, who is an out-and-proud bisexual transgender person who prefers female pronouns. She is lead bartender at Portland Five Centers for the Arts, and over the last 13 years, she proudly served the people of Portland at many of our finest venues. She is a shop steward and volunteer organizer for Unite Here Local 8, a union that primarily organizes food service and hospitality workers. She is also on the National Executive Board of the AFL-CIO Pride at Work, and is the president of the Oregon chapter. Good evening, Bea.
Hi, Fernando. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, tell me what's going on with Pride at Work and, you know, building that the ties with that community and the labor movement.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So Pride at Work is a constituency group of the AFL-CIO, and I like to talk about us in sort of a way of contrasting with other LGBTQ advocacy groups, because there's a lot of different advocacy groups out there. But the difference with Pride at Work is that we are funded by unions and members and individuals exclusively. We don't have any corporate funding or backing. And we come at things from a workers' rights perspective. And so I think that's a different approach than most other groups out there. No offense to them. Basically we exist because, you know, a lot of times people in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community, sometimes they're not the best allies to the labor movement. Sometimes they have events at non-union hotels and cross picket lines and things like this. And then, you know, if you look at unions, they're not always the best allies to the LGBTQ community either, sometimes. You know, a lot of times they are, but sometimes they're not. And so we want to build more bridges and have, you know, more communication and more joint action between these two different groups within the broader progressive movement. And it's really exciting to engage with members. You're talking about engaging with members about social issues. You know, a lot of times we're surprised when we go into shops and talk with workers and they're actually more agitated about social issues than they are about how much they make. You know, and a lot of times people can be inspired to deeper commitment to a movement, you know, based on that kind of stuff. So it's really exciting to see people kind of ignited that way. I mean, I know I made a deeper commitment to my union because I saw that they invested in developing queer leaders, and there were trans people that were leaders on staff, and you know, so that really meant a lot to me and made me think, hey, oh, this is for me too, you know. You know, we have a national, we are a national group. We have a local chapter here. The national group focuses and has been focusing a lot on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Obviously, that's been a big thing across, you know, all labor unions and stuff. So we've been focusing a lot on that. And we've also been, you know, looking at, obviously, at the election season coming up and how we can engage specifically with our communities, meaning queer communities, you know, about issues that are important to us. So that's kind of, and then locally, I mean, we do all kinds of stuff. But one really cool thing that was recent, I actually, my day job, my actual job that I get paid for, I'm a bartender at the Performing Arts Center. And, you know, I partner with the other unions there, and we were able to get an all staff training where, you know, over 200 people were in this room to hear about gender neutral restrooms and how to be supportive and better allies to trans people like me. So that's the kind of thing we can do on a local level that's just really huge, you know. So that's just kind of a nutshell there. I hope that answered your question.
Well, yeah. You know, I've been a member of Pride at Work. And the thing is that one of the reasons I joined is because it was really active in all levels of both politics and intergroup dynamics within the union. So, you know, broader political issues like marriage equality and,
exactly,
you know, passage of things like equal rights for everybody in communities, passing equal rights ordinances. Tell me, what's going on in terms of building Pride at Work in Oregon?
Well, we recently had a chapter reboot meeting, actually, which was well attended. And we're hoping to connect with a lot of people, obviously, through the Pride Festival coming up. You know, I'd love to hear from folks. We always have a big labor contingent within the parade. It's always good to, you know, be one of those floats that's in the parade that's actually saying something, you know, and not just selling a product or, you know, something like that. Yeah, that's, you know, basically where we're at right now. We're trying to build our membership up, you know, and I like to tell people, like, you know, we really depend on our members because we don't have corporate sponsorship, you know. So imagine what that looks like with unions in decline. Obviously, you know, our funding is in decline, and I think it's really vital and important that there is a workers' rights voice within the larger picture of the LGBTQ equality movement, because, you know, we don't always get solidarity on things that are important to us, you know, from other bigger national groups. You know, we've had trouble getting folks to get behind the CPP thing, and this is big to us. It doesn't get any bigger, really, for us, you know. So to not have support from some of those groups is just, that's not solidarity. That's not what that looks like, you know. So kind of trying to get both sides of that equation to see that we have to work together as a broader progressive movement, or we're all going to lose, you know, individually.
How can people hook up with Pride at Work?
So the best way to join is to go to prideatwork.org, our website, and you can make you know, an additional monthly donation, or but it's just a yearly fee of $30. If you are a union member, you can also get your local leadership or, you know, maybe even your international union to contribute money as well. We have several international unions that, including Unite Here, my union, that put, you know, a decent amount every year towards Pride at Work. And you can reach me. I don't know if I should just say my information, but folks are welcome to reach out to me to make that happen as well. But the best way to actually join is through the website.
Okay. But I mean, in terms of if folks want to attend a meeting or go to a local event, is there?
Yeah. So the best way, thank you. I'm glad you clarified that. Yeah. So I would encourage folks to go to our Pride at Work Oregon Facebook page. And because we are planning a meeting soon, but we don't have a day set just yet. It would be a great time for someone new to the organization to come in because it's Pride season and, you know, this is the best time of year to be queer, you know. So, and we also welcome our straight allies and we also welcome non-union members. We mostly just really want to engage folks in the issues that are important to workers and, you know, specifically LGBTQ workers, but all workers. Because an injury to one is an injury to all, right? So, but yeah, the Facebook page would be best. That's where we'll be announcing our next meeting. And please like our page. And please also, if you would, like our national Pride at Work page, which is just Pride at Work, also on Facebook. And that would be great.
So just Pride at Work Oregon on Facebook, and people will be able to hook up.
Yep. And we'll post our next meeting dates and other updates from there. So that's probably the best way to just kind of plug people in.
Okay, good enough. Well, is there any other plug that you want to give before you have to go?
Well, there probably is, but I can't think of it right now. But I really do appreciate the opportunity. And I just want to say, you know, my love goes out to all the working people of Portland and the world. And, you know, let's build a movement. Let's make this happen.
All right, B. And the thing is that what I promise is that we'll have a whole show to have a discussion about how to build unity with the LGBT community and the broader labor movement.
Awesome. I would like to be a part of that.
All right. Talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fernanda.
Our next guest is Toby Green. He's a member of Communication Workers of America, 7901, and the new chair of their mobilization committee. Toby, are you there?
Fernando, I am here. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, man, this really works. I mean, our engineer is great. She's connecting us all up. All right.
She did the most important thing. She told me to turn the radio off. So it's a good time.
Okay. All right. Well, tell me about how you're mobilizing and engaging members.
Well, I came back to the local 3 months ago. First, a little bit of backstory on me is that as a communication worker, I am actually a third-generation communication worker. My grandfather was on the line when it was Pacific Northwest Bell. My mom and dad met on the job at Pacific Northwest Bell, and I'm a happy offspring of that. And about 10 years ago, I organized with the call center workers at AT&T Wireless. And so coming back to the local 10 years later after I've been off and in another world, so to speak, has been kind of a homecoming. And being a union activist and a person who's passionate about this movement, I jumped in. CWA is set up with a lot of committees, and like any union with committees, it's hard to kind of get those staffed. I quickly leaned towards the mobilization committee. I saw right away that we don't have a real structure to support mobilizing. What I mean by that is that unions, we understand things about shop stewards, and we put a lot of responsibility on the shop steward to be everything, to be the person who stands up for their coworkers against the boss, to be the person who cares about their coworkers. And it was that piece of caring about their coworkers that really drew me in, because it can get real easy to love the thrill of the fight and standing up for your coworkers and miss some of the things that bring us together. So I thought I worked with some other folks in the local. Jeanette Turner, the president, has been fantastic. And we came up with this idea called Mobilizer, which was they do all the work of the shop steward minus the representation. They don't have to worry about getting into a fight with a boss. They get to worry about their coworkers and their morale. And we just passed it 2 weeks ago in our membership that this is going to be an actual position in the local that we're going to train towards and develop. We want our local, the folks in our union, to be united and together. We want people to worry predominantly about that.
So how's that gonna work? I mean, you know, the connecting people up, because, you know, different unions have committees, social committees, committees that connect people up, let them know, you know, that somebody's spouse is ill, or that their parents have died, and things like that. How is the mobilization committee? How's it going to work, and how's it gonna keep people engaged in the union as an institution?
Sure, a wonderful question. What we're working on right now is a mobilizer toolkit, and the biggest thing that we're asking people to do when they volunteer to become mobilizers. And we think of mobilizers as the first step to get them in the movement, get them going. If they want to become shop stewards or different roles in the union, fantastic. But what we're thinking about with the mobilizer is the first thing we're asking them to do is literally to try to bring in food or have some sort of potluck with their coworkers. And it's the union's job or the staff's job to provide information to them so that when they're doing the potluck style thing, they're really creating the atmosphere, but then we can bring in information about what the union's up to and that this is a union potluck. And having that is a very basic task to start with. It's just as simple of, hey, I'm bringing in food on Friday or whatever. Do you want to bring in something? And making it very easy. And yet bringing in just a little bit about what the union's up to, what the local's trying to do. For instance, the Verizon strike that's going on where, you know, many workers may not even know that CWA 7901 is very supportive of our brothers and sisters back east. The Burgerville Workers Union, of course, that's being formed. These struggles are going on. Our brothers and sisters in IOTC doing a industry night that they've done such a wonderful job with. All of these type of things are connective to our members. So I think it's on our job as staff and activists to make sure that when our mobilizers are in their workplace trying to get people involved, that we're making it, we're feeding their bellies, so to speak, we're nourishing their souls, and we're opening their minds. If we're doing those three things, I don't have a worry about keeping people engaged. And so how that's going to work, and as we roll that out, we're going to learn a lot from it and adjust, but it's going to be, we want the mobilizers focused on that experience. And a little dash of the union, a lot of the coworkers coming together, I think it's a good message to pull people together going down the road.
Well, you know, I remember a president of a CWA local in my old hometown of San Jose, California, that the union meetings never resembled union meetings. It looked like a place for friends and family to get together and to actually be with each other. And I never really understood how that chaos worked, but somehow they were able to take care of business. And they, over the decade that I knew them, they maintained the best membership participation in everything.
That story, Fernando, is exactly, it's where my instinct is. It's where my heart is as an activist and an organizer in this movement, bringing people together. And when we only see the member or the prospective members in unions, we're missing. It's like seeing the tip of the iceberg and going, oh, I've got the whole iceberg. You know, people are connected in their communities. People are working 2 to 3 jobs in many cases. They're underemployed. They're under a lot of stress. It's there's been so much of our culture in terms of how we communicate with one another that's been changed with technology and different things. So getting back to that fundamental thing means that not only could our members be active in our union in the future, but also their families. because we're all in this boat together. Last time I checked that a union member who is facing a discipline or who's in a contract battle, we see the member doing that, but and we talk about the family, but we don't see the experience of what the family's going through. And it's never been clear to me why if a husband or a wife or a significant other is in a contract negotiation and their fates are tied to this job being important, why we should have anyone standing on the sidelines and all that. But that culture has to be built one piece at a time. And it heartens me to hear that story that you just said about the CWA membership and holding serve with it and having very good meetings. I think it's that connective tissue that builds a movement.
Well, you know, Will, this is an ongoing theme that our show is about, building those communities of solidarity. And you've been a guest before, and we'll be back. You'll be back on, and we'll talk about it some more. I appreciate you coming on, Toby.
Thanks, Fernando. Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye.
This is KBOO Portland 90.7, and you're listening to Labor Radio, second Monday. Your host, I'm Fernando Gapacin, from the UAW 1981, and your other host is Ann McDonald. She's from Labor's 483. Our next guest is Bob Rossi. Bob is a former union organizer and now secretary treasurer of Salem's Racial Justice Organizing Committee and a member of the Communication Workers of America Local 7901 retirees. I will be talking about the May 21st Racial Justice Organizing Committee training. I am checking right now to make sure that we have the right number to get a hold of Bob. We have just a few minutes. Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great, great. We had just a little disconnect. So I just introduced you. Bob?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
We have some interference on the line, I think.
I guess. Danielle? We're going to fix it. We still have time. Are you okay now? Bob, are you there? Bob. We're almost there. Bob, are you on the air?
I'm here now. Yes.
All right, we're clear. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think I'm on to talk about a workshop we're doing down here on Saturday, May 21st, down here in Salem. It's called Our Rights at Work. It's a workshop for women, young people of color, and LGBTQ youth, people who are not in unions. That's the intention here. It's sponsored by the Salem Kaiser branch of the NAACP, our Racial Justice Organizing Committee, and Latinos Unidos Siempre. We're going to be fortunate to have Karina Spencer-Shurick of the Northwest Workers Justice Project with us and a couple other folks. The workshop is going to go from 1 to 3 here on, and we ask people to register ahead, not just show up. They register ahead by sending us an email at salemorjustice@gmail.com. That's salemorjustice@gmail.com.
Bob, you have a couple minutes. Do you want to explain what the Racial Justice Organizing Committee is and perhaps what people are doing there in Salem?
We came together last year as white allies of people of color freedom struggles. We held a number of successful events, and we're building an organization now. And this is really something... this workshop on May 21 is really something rooted in the community. As we do our work, we encounter lots of people that are not union members and who never get the word about what their rights are at work. So this is an attempt to build RJOC and the other organizations at the grassroots level by talking about those questions. The workshop's going to be pretty short, but we hope that this is one of the series where we engage people about what's really on their minds when it comes to work. And hopefully they come away with that feeling good about organizing at work, and they also feel good about joining one of the racial justice groups down here, whichever one they're most comfortable with. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I also work with the Racial Justice Organizing Committee, and I asked the question, me as a person of color, you know, is RJOC a place where I can work? And the response was, we're trying to build connections with people and learn about people. And as we begin to map the Salem area, we're finding there's all kinds of folks involved and stuff. Can you talk about some of the groups that are potentially links to other communities there in Salem?
Well, this workshop itself is set up to work with young people, women, people of color, and people who are LGBTQIA community identified. But there is a large, if we think beyond that, there is a really large Marshallese community, of course, a large Spanish-speaking community as well, and others. Hopefully we can pull folks in over time through these kinds of activities. I live over near the Lancaster Corridor in Salem, and so every day I'm out there talking to folks at the bus stops or up at Chemeketa Community College or in the housing or the apartment complexes about what they go through at work. And we hear a lot of stories from these target groups, people who are unscheduled from work arbitrarily, people who get unfair disciplines, people who are suspended for long periods of time. There's no just cause standard for these folks, of course, because they're not in unions. People who work in the hair salons, when the bosses create these discount days, there's a rush on for people to come in and get their hair cut. And what happens is that the workers end up fighting for customers and end up working these impossibly long shifts. So these are the kinds of problems that we're hearing in the communities as we go through them, and these are the kinds of things we're going to be taking up on the 21st.
Well, you know, the thing is that as past president of the Asian Pacific American Labor Alliance, one of the issues that we were trying to address was the the spas that deal with nails,
yeah.
You know, there's particular racial and ethnic groups that focus in on those industries, and there's with the chemicals and the dangers, not even being aware of their rights as workers, and you know, and issues that affect their health, and those are the kinds of places that the Racial Justice Organizing Committee with its training are trying to reach. Is that right?
Yeah, we're doing some real old-fashioned organizing. We haven't broken into the nail salons yet. I think that takes a lot of work and concentration and some resources that we don't have yet. But, you know, retail, government, and healthcare are the kind of the three legs of the stool here in Salem, and that's what's looking us right in the face. So, again, Saturday, May 21, 1 to 3 o'clock, folks have been incredibly generous in stepping up to support us. We're getting help, as I said, from the Latinos Unidos Siempre. OEA has donated the space. Worker Rights Press has been incredibly supportive. Karina from Northwest Workers Justice Project is giving her time. The Council of Islamic American Relations, the Working Families Party, all of them are really helping build this.
Please give the address again, because we're on our way out.
How about we do this? People just contact us by email to register, and we'll give them the details. SalemORJustice@gmail.com. Okay?
Good enough. Thanks. You, Bob.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Labor Radio, Second Monday, on KBOO Portland, 90.7.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone.